April 20th, 2015. This is our Freedom Formula group coaching call. And hi, folks. Welcome. So for the sake of there being ease with background sound, I'm going to leave everyone on mute for the moment. And if you can raise your hand by pressing 1 on your dial pad to ask questions. So what questions do you have? What is it that I can support you with today? Okay, we've got a question from Meryl. Hi, Meryl.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Been really busy. Question came up, been doing a lot of practicing on the script, and both Anna and I were going back and forth, and it was beginning to feel as we went through the script, pretty much read everything on your practice script you gave us, and we had customized it for our particular needs. That was still feeling a little long, and I was guessing, I'm sure this would be okay, but I want to make sure I ran it by you, that do we need to go through every single question, you know, even on the first round? We know we don't do it on the second round after the first goal is given, but it felt a little bit, things were getting, okay, this feels a little bit too long to actually do a consulting thing. Are we trying to eventually get to a place where we can customize it and cut it down? And I didn't want to do anything until we had your advice and guidance on that.
Are you talking about just the first half, the goal section?
Correct. Just going through the first section, even then, well, we just found certain areas all feel a little bit elongated, long. As we were going through it, we actually recorded everything and played it back.
If it's useful for us on this call right now to do a pretend call, a pretend free consult, where I play the practitioner and someone else plays the client, we can do that so you can hear how to keep it in flow.
Awesome.
If there's no other, you know, questions and things to work on.
That would be great. If not, something you and I can do later on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Generally, every question that's in there for a reason, and I wouldn't suggest cutting it out. Like, it's already actually narrowed down from what could be in there. So that is a narrowed down version. I've, in essence, already cut out other stuff that I've tested in the past, and these are the most salient and sort of necessary components that need to be in the first round of asking people about their goals.
What I think would be helpful is actually maybe having actual role play, if not with me or with somebody else, actually see how the whole thing
unfolds. And Meryl, I think in our private coaching sessions, we've already done this before, the role play. So you probably have already a session of this with your call script in the past, possibly. So it's something that you might want to look back on your notes on and see if you can find the time that we did that. I could be wrong, but I think we did.
Well, the latest step that we've added to it, I'm not sure that we certainly went through and adjusted the script, but role-playing it, not so much.
Okay.
It would be helpful to hear the flow.
Okay. Awesome stuff. I mean, I don't mind doing it because other people in the group haven't experienced that. And it might be good to look back at your notes and see which session it was that we did that together, because
yeah,
I'm pretty sure we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And I see some other hands are raised. So, Heather, yes.
Hi. Hi, you guys. I just wanted to say that if you do a role play, that Meryl sounds a little bit faint to me. I don't know if he sounds faint to you.
Yes. Meryl's volume
okay.
was faint. I would not have Meryl, for that reason, since it's not, I'm not the only one that's hearing him faintly, I would have somebody else play the client.
Oh, okay.
So that it can be heard louder. Like, for example, your volume is really loud. So I think everybody should
okay.
be able to hear you pretty well.
okay.
But was that just the main request, that it's hard to hear his volume?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, awesome. Cool. Thank you. Let's come over to Anne. Yes, my darling.
Hey, Dana. Hey, everybody. Yeah, so there's actually two questions. and I think going off of what Meryl was asking, because we were working through it, and it was during my opportunity to kind of be the interviewer. And mm-hmm. I think it was also in phase two that I think there's like a list of like 25 questions or so. And I was curious, like, are those kind of what you're speaking on, is that those were already a list of questions that were built or like sort of.
Are you talking about in the second half?
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, what I gave everybody as a template was an example of what questions look like if somebody was, I think, a health practitioner. So what everybody mm-hmm. was instructed to do was that you want to basically erase those 25 questions and create your own, but you can create your own based off of what you see from those 25 questions as a template. So if somebody was working like Meryl with computers, he wouldn't say, so where's your health right now? He would say, so where are you at with computers right now? So that's how he would take that first question and mm-hmm. tailor, you know, using the template format, tailor it to fit his business. Because you're working with health, a lot, you know, many of those questions you can just steal, so to speak, and repurpose for yourself. But you should also ask some of your own questions since you work with people specifically around, for example, craniosacral. You do stuff with fitness like hula. And so there's different things you can add in that have to do with, like, with hula, you can be asking questions about core strength and weight loss goals or, like, how they want their waist to look. Craniosacral, you might be asking questions about neck pain and headaches and shoulder pain and, you know, just pain in general, energy levels. So am I answering your question?
Oh, I understand that piece. I guess I was just curious, is the minimum number of questions to be asked?
Oh, no.
25 questions?
No.
Or that's just like a guideline?
What I suggest for people is to try to get as many questions ahead of time as possible, because depending on the person, I find that people, when they're first starting out giving their free consults, are nervous. Mm-hmm. And when people are nervous, it can be hard for them to think on their feet. And one of the things that prevents people from taking action is feeling like they're not prepared. And so the reason that I suggest writing as many questions down as possible is that when you get to that part of your free consult script, you never will feel lost. You never will feel scared because you already have a bunch of questions, so you don't have to think on your feet. Now, what happens in practice is when you start giving your free consults, new questions will organically come up. They'll just spring to mind, like you've got a real person talking to on the phone. And in the middle of the conversation, you will organically have some questions to ask. But from previous experience, I know that some people will get nervous and not be able to think. They can't even think of any mm-hmm. questions in the moment. They just get nervous and go into deer in the headlights. And so having a list of as many questions as possible helps you to not have to think in the moment. So the whole idea of having a script going into your free consult is so that you never have to think, well, as much as possible in the moment. The whole thing is already laid out for you. You're following the script, and you're following a script that's already been tried and tested and has psychology of buying built into it, the psychology of mm-hmm. how people make purchasing decisions. And so you don't have to try and think on your feet, like, how do I create a free consult that works with how people make buying decisions? It's already done for you. Having as many questions as possible ahead of time simply gives you the benefit of not having to think as much on your feet. So that's why I do okay. recommend, like, try to write out as many questions as you can while you're not in the middle of a free consult, so that when you're in the middle of the free consult, you've got lots of choices. You're not supposed to ask all 25 questions. Just because a question is there doesn't mean you're supposed to ask it. It doesn't mean you're supposed to ask them in that order. What it does mean is you have a bucket of 25 questions to draw from, and you can look at your list and pick out the questions that seem relevant to the particular client you're giving a free consult to.
Okay.
So someone that has zero goals of weight loss, you might not use a weight loss question of like, so how much, you know, do you, where's your weight right now? And when you were younger, when did you start gaining weight? Maybe if those were two of your questions, you would not ask those questions because that particular free consult client made no mention of wanting to lose weight, so of course you don't use those questions.
Okay.
So basically it's a safety bucket. What's that?
Okay. Oh, that totally makes sense. Like, just having as many ideas or, like, questions available so when you can just automatically have something ready.
And the same with your mini stories. Most of the time, people can't remember their mini stories when it comes time to do your free consults. Like, it's hard to think on the spot, like, oh, yeah, I know I worked with someone like this. What happened? How can I say this quickly to the person in a short story? And so that's the other reason that I recommend writing out as many short mini stories as possible ahead of time so that you have it right in front of you. You can skim really quickly, look for the right story to tell, and then tell it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I actually emailed the second question, but I don't just recently. And since I'll be living abroad soon, but I, you know, if I do start to have, or when I do start to have, like, clients or things or in the U.S., what are suggestions, or is PayPal a good option as far as, like, taking payments while you're overseas, or are there... is that going to be something that's going to also be highlighted? Like, what's the best, or what are the different options for managing that? And like,
I'll be making a list of some of the credit card taking options. That have different. Properties. So I'll probably make like a, here's five different great companies to have as your credit card processor. And here's the difference between them. So choose the one that fits your business best. And so when I create that, one of the things will be whether or not and how it works internationally.
Okay, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, cool. Okay, excellent. Was that it, my love? Were those your two questions?
Yes.
Okay. And all right, let me come back to the room and see what other hands are raised. No other hands are raised, so... speaking to the group, does that mean, before I dive into like doing a practice session, I want to make sure that nobody else has any questions. And I know that some of you arrived a little later. So think for a moment. Do you have a question? Is there anything that I can provide clarity on? Is there any place that you're getting stuck? Yes, Mary.
I just want to let you know you already answered the question that I had, so.
Oh.
Go for it.
Great. What was the question out of curiosity?
I was questioning those that list of questions right at the beginning of phase two in the
the same question that Ann just asked. Do we need to create 25?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Love it.
They weren't underlined or highlighted or anything, and I kind of felt like I needed to change them, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, make sure that you watch the videos I have on the free consult.
I have some trouble I have some trouble watching videos because of my lousy internet connection.
So, okay.
So I don't know if you could get those videos transcribed or something, and offer a document or something. It would help me.
Wow. Yeah, no intention to transcribe them, as that's quite labor intensive.
Yeah.
Even a okay. Still, I have to think about this because there's value. I mean, all of the teaching is in the is in the video, because I'm demonstrating the templates I'm giving you and demonstrating what you need to change in the templates, but also sometimes demonstrating how they work. And that's important information for you to have. So we'll have to, I'm not even sure what to do about that, maybe.
Well, if I can, I guess I'm going to just have to take notes. I can watch them early in the day, but once the neighborhood gets home from school and work, then there's no bandwidth for video.
Gotcha. Okay. Sounds good. Hopefully that solution works for now. Doing it in the morning and then taking notes. And is there, speaking of the room, any other questions, or is the most valuable thing doing a demo? Yes, Heather.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, are there videos on YouTube? Because Mary could download them, probably. I just can't remember if they are or not.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that kind of stuff. But thank you for the suggestion.
Sure.
And, all right. Any other questions? Yes, Meryl.
Hey, Dina. One thought from Mary. If it's doable, if she has a computer with her CD player in there, a DVD player, then it might be better for her, if there was a way for you to record the video onto a video disc, send it out, work whatever arrangements you need to make that way, she could play that DVD in her computer and not have to worry about the packages of the internet failing her. That seems to be what's happening. She's not getting the real time.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. Thank you. If other suggestions for workarounds for that, if y'all can email them in. I don't want them taking up our coaching time. So thank you both to you and Heather. And are there any other questions of where you're getting stuck? Anything that we can address so that wherever the bottleneck is and you progressing your business can move forward. Nothing. Okay. Then we'll dive into a demo. So open up, everybody go to your Google Drive and open up the call script. Let me see, what is it called? Dana's example, free consultation call script is what it's called. And Heather, your volume is quite loud, so would you be willing to play client?
Yes. I'm trying to access my Google Drive, though. I'm on my phone.
You don't need to have that in front of you if you're the client.
Okay, good. Okay, yes. Yes, I'm willing.
And what I'd like you to do is to give me relatively short answers so that we can progress through the script.
Okay.
Let's see. So let's pretend that this is for... we can pretend that this is for business, and we're working on it from a perspective from family entanglement. So we're going to pretend that you're somebody who's come to me who wants to progress their business, and they're already aware of what family entanglements are because they read an article that I wrote, and so they want to grow their business. So this is how I would open the call. Hey, Heather, so this is, I'm going to try to stick to the words of the consult so you can hear kind of the intonation for the words that are literally written on the page. I might mess up a little bit because I'm reading in the moment. So, hey, Heather, this is our time together for your consultation call. So this is usually the first paid session that someone gets when they're working with me privately. You're getting this session free today as a gift. And in this session, we're going to explore your relationship with what you want for your business. I'm going to be doing some work with your mindset as well, because your mind and your mindset have a huge impact on your business. So for the first half of the session, we're only going to be speaking in the positive and talking about what you want in the future. We don't want to talk about the negative and what you don't want from your past. So that means, for example, when I ask you why you want more energy, you wouldn't say, because I don't want to be tired anymore, or I don't want to be sleepy anymore, because those are things that you don't want. Instead, I want you to tell me what you do want. I want to feel full of energy when I wake up and have energy all through the day. Does that make sense?
It does.
Awesome. And if we slip up, I'll just pause us and gently redirect. And then in the second half, you'll get to tell me everything that's wrong and everything that you don't want. So you'll have free reign to talk about all the negatives then. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's get started. So what is one goal that you have for your business?
I want to make $20,000 a month.
Awesome. And what will making $20,000 a month do for you?
It'll free me up from my day job, and it'll make me feel like I have a sense of fulfillment.
Cool. So when you are freed from your day job and you feel a sense of fulfillment, what will having all of that do for you?
It'll make me feel like I'm on my way to fulfilling my purpose, whatever that is.
And okay, cool. Well, when you're able to fulfill your purpose, what does having that do for you?
it's hard to say.
How will you feel when you're fulfilling your purpose?
How would I feel?
When you're living your purpose.
I would just feel elated and joyous and free and all those good things.
Nice. Okay, cool. So go ahead and close your eyes and imagine that you've gotten to the point where you're making $20,000 a month. And imagine that you've already done the work and you've already gotten to a place where you have that. Let's fly out together into that future and step into your body, in that life, and take your life for a test drive. What's it like out there?
Well, it's wonderful. I feel very self-assured and like I'm my own woman, and I'm meeting people who resonate with me and that I jive with. It's great.
Nice. I'm going to pause for a second and say to the whole group, in this portion, you've got to make sure they're staying in their body in the future and telling you what they're experiencing. And the way that you can tell is that she just said, I'm doing this. She said it in the present tense. And she didn't say, I think I would be doing this, or I think it'll be like this, because that means she's sitting in the present moment making guesses about the future. So you want them to be in their body in the future, experiencing this future life, and then reporting back to you about what it's actually like out there. And you can tell that she just did it again because she said, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. So it's present tense for her, which means she's in the future describing what's happening for her. So I left off with the question, so what's it like out there? She said a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to say, and how does it feel to be in your body? Like, what's different about your body? Are you standing taller? Do you feel stronger? Are you smiling more?
Yeah, I say all of the above, and yeah, I am.
Anything else?
Just a feeling like a bubbling up of joy and pride and good feelings in my core.
Awesome. Now, I'm pausing again because what she answered right now was she began to answer then my next question, which is about emotions. What are the main emotions out there? Which means I would skip that question because she's already answered it. So first I'm asking her, what does it feel like to be in your body? And this is a question that helps her to step deeper into her body in the future and literally tell me what's different. And I gave her some examples. Are you standing taller, feeling stronger, smiling more? So she understands what I mean by the question when I say, how does it feel to be in your body? So in case that's confusing, I give some examples. Are you standing taller? Are you feeling stronger? And she said, yes, all those things. And I said, what else? And then she started to answer the emotions question, which I hadn't gotten to yet, but she's already answered it, which means I'm going to skip it. Now I'm on to question 10. And what other areas of your life does making $20,000 a month affect positively? Let's fast forward the movie until you're around your friends and family. Does making $20,000 a month, hold on one sec, I just lost my page. Does making $20,000 a month have any positive effect on your friends and family?
Yeah, because with my friends, I can show them what's possible, and I can be kind of like a walking, talking billboard for success, and as opposed to just, you know, working in corporate America. And with my parents, definitely a sense of, more parental pride in me and just the fulfillment of my goals.
Ooh, nice. What about in the area of romance? So stay out there in the future in your body and fast forward the movie until the part of your life where you're kind of like around the area of romance. Is there any positive effect that having $20,000 a month has on your romantic life?
Yes, because that, being in the world, being a successful entrepreneur, will put me in a world where I'm meeting successful, go-getting alpha males, which I like. I don't like corporate suits, as I call them. And I just call them suits.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Now I'm pausing. Did you notice that I'm reacting to what she's saying, speaking to the room? When people answer your questions, be right there with them. Like, be on the journey with them. Feel what they're saying. When they say, when you ask them, like, hey, what's different about your body? And they're like, oh, my gosh. I'm, like, standing taller. My shoulders are back. My chest is out forward. I feel like I could take over the world. I feel, like, so much stronger. When they say that and they're kind of excited and they're saying that, go there with them and be excited with them and be like, oh, yeah, I can even feel it coming through you in your voice right now. Yes, awesome. And so right now, she just answered my question of, like, how does this help in the area of romance? And she got excited about it, but she also said something that was funny. So it's like, join her, enjoy it with her, laugh with her. Like, that was, you know, she was, like, saying this really cool, spirited thing. Like, no more, you know, I'm going to be with these, like, juicy alpha guys. And it's like, yeah, hot, awesome, okay. Like, in essence, when you're doing this with people, talk to them like you're already their best friend. So you're going through these questions, and you can hear that I'm doing this in like a warm, friendly tone, and as we're talking, it's conversational. Even though I'm technically following a script and there's certain questions I'm trying to hit, it's a conversation. So participate in it like a conversation and participate from the energy of I'm your best friend. Like, we're already best friends. Like, we have this level of comfort. And I can laugh when you say funny things, and I can be joyful when you talk about joyful stuff. And I can be excited with you, because that's what friends do. Like, you go out to coffee, and someone's like, oh, my gosh, you won't believe what happened. You get excited with them. And so do the same in your pre-consult. So back to the questions. Let's see. Where did I leave off? Okay. And now let's fast forward to the area of your business. Is there any positive effect on your work world when you make $20,000 a month?
Yes, because I'm drawing to me people who really, that I can really help and who really resonate with the message I have to give, and that is translated in the fact that they're paying me what my worth is.
Yes, good. I love it. And now you could say stuff like that. I'm pausing again. You could say stuff like that. You can be like, yeah, good. I love it. Like, you can absolutely say things like good and awesome and spectacular and any other variation of supportive, happy words. And you can even talk about how you're enjoying their vision, right? I just said, oh, I love it. Because you could totally love it. Like, that is an awesome vision. Now, you can see question 13 is, how about your ability to make income? Depending on what your topic is, you're going to have to skip one of these questions because the goal was already the question. Meaning, and I could technically ask the question, how does making $20,000 a month affect your income? Is there any positive effect there? Because there would be. And you can also skip that question if you want because we're talking about income. So in the terms of, like, in the moment here, I'm about to come up to the question of how does this affect your physical health? Now, if you're a health coach and the first goal they said is I want to lose weight, you might not say to them, and how does losing weight affect your physical health? Although you could, because there might be other things they end up saying about their health that are sort of linked. For example, they might say, well, when I lose more weight, it'll be more comfortable to go swimming because I'll be more comfortable in my bathing suit, and therefore I will swim more, and therefore I will get my swimmer's body back. So you can leave it in or you can take it out. It's up to you. So for now, I'm going to skip 13 and I'm going to go to, well, Heather, how about your health? Let's start with your mental emotional health. How does making $20,000 a month, or does making $20,000 a month have any positive effect on your mental emotional health?
Definitely positive because, I'm trying not to frame it in a negative. I feel unshackled emotionally and stimulated intellectually because I'm doing something that is so fulfilling. So it'll trickle down into everything I feel and my emotive state.
Nice. And how about your physical health? Does making $20,000 a month have any positive effect on physical health?
Yes, because now I have more time to stretch and do yoga. You know, just more time in the day.
Okay, love it. And on the scale, I'm going to read it more closely to how it's written. How important is making $20,000 a month for you right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is unimportant and 10 is important, how important is this goal?
10.
Okay, awesome. So this one's up there. And is this something that is important for you to start working on now and fixing right now, or is it something that you want to work on later? Basically, is it a front burner or a back burner thing?
Right now.
Right now. Okay, so we're on a juicy goal. Not only is it a 10, it's also a right now. Okay, cool. Now, at this point, I would move on to, so what's your second goal? Do you have a second goal or another goal?
Yes, and it's less about money, and it's more about just partnering with entrepreneurs to create something bigger than myself, and I don't know what that is, but I'll know it when it comes and when it comes.
Okay, so some kind of partnership. Now, speaking, taking a pause and speaking to the room, this is where you begin to shortcut the rest of your questions. In favor of saving time, you don't necessarily want to ask all, 16 questions all over again, only in that you start burning into your time for the second half and your time for making your offer and customizing packages and stuff like that. So what I wrote here is, with the second goal, if the person talks a lot, only ask questions 1 through 7. meaning if you've got a really talkative person and they're just like, their answers are really long, then only ask questions 1 through 7. If they're a medium talker, they're not taking up too much time, you can go all the way to question 9 for their second goal. And then with the third and fourth goals, just stop at the ultimate goal or just stop once they name the goal. In favor of saving time, by the third goal you might just say, and do you have another goal? And then they name it. And you say, okay, great. Do you have another goal? And then they name it. That's goal number 4. And you say, great. And you write that down. And you can kind of like leave it without going into drilling down into those extra questions, simply in favor of saving time. Most of the time, people will list their most important goal first, which is why I say with that first goal, ask all 16 questions. And a lot of time with their second and third goals, a lot of the answers are the same for, like, how does this affect your health? How does this affect your emotional state? How does this affect your, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff? So you kind of don't need to ask it again, because what I have found is people say, oh, the same thing I said earlier. Oh, the same thing I said earlier. So turns out you probably don't need to flesh out those things quite as much. So that means, technically, in this example that we're doing, you just named joint venture partnership stuff, so I might just go to question 7 or question 9, which would be asking things like, what will having, you don't have to answer this, Heather, but what will having that do for you? And then getting all the way up to like happiness, fulfillment, love, and then I say to her, okay, close your eyes, let's fly out into the future where you already have these joint venture partnerships. Fly down into your body and take your life for a test drive. What does it feel like to get to partner with other amazing people? And then she's going to say a bunch of stuff about that. Sure, say something.
You want me to answer? Okay. It feels very validating and empowering, and it's meant to be.
Yeah, awesome. And I can stop right there at question 7, which is, what's it like out there? Or I could say, and how does it feel different in your body? In which you might say, I feel stronger. I feel taller somehow.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same as before. It's the same shift.
Mm-hmm. And then I could just, you know, I could ask the next question, which is, what are the main emotions here? She might answer that, and then I would just go right on to the next goal. Okay, great. So what's another goal you have?
To be a dynamic, engaging speaker.
Awesome. So you can see we're on goal number 3 now, speaking to the room. And I might not ask her to flesh it out. I might just say, great. Do you have another goal? And she might say those are the main 3. Or she might have more.
To really help other entrepreneurs in a very tangible, measurable way.
Mm. Love it. Now, speaking to the room, I'm taking notes while she's talking because she's saying a whole lot of stuff that I need to come back to and use later. Number one, when I come down to the second half right here, which is where we're at right now, I need to wrap around and say to her, okay, let's go through each goal one by one and talk about where it is now and what the patterns of the past have been. And so if I didn't take notes and write it down, it's quite possible you might start forgetting some of them. So taking notes is useful. And another reason that you want those things written down is that if you end up needing to do a follow-up call because they don't, For whatever reason, they don't sign up on this first free consult, you need to have good notes so that when you talk to them again, you can speak very specifically about what you guys covered in the free consult. You want to keep everything really customized and really tailored to that person. So it's useful to have good notes for that. So let's scroll down, everyone, to phase 2. And I'll show you what this part sounds like. So I just said that first sentence, which is the transitional sentence. So let's turn our attention to how it is now. Let's go over each goal. Pardon me. Let's go over each goal one by one and hear how it is right now and what the patterns of the past have been. So your first goal was about income. Where is that at right now? By the way, you don't have to give real answers. You can be a pretend client, so you just say something.
Okay.
Any, make it up.
It's lower. It's like $8,000 a month.
Okay. And how long ago did you start your business?
In August.
Okay. So for the last 6 months, it's been around $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, when you had other jobs, about how much were you making when you were working for someone else a month?
$6,000.
Okay. Have you ever made more than $8,000 a month before?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to pause for a second. So what I've just done with her is I've checked how is it right now, and I checked how has it been in her recent past. So I was checking into, like, before that, before you started this business, when you had other jobs, what was the maximum amount you made? And the goal is more income. So I'm checking into where is it now, where has it been in the past. And given that this free consult has to do with her family entanglements and business, I need to start asking some questions that would help me do the root cause finding stuff. So as you know, phase two, you got two main jobs in phase two. One is that as you're asking these questions, you want to be able to identify root causes that are keeping this person stuck. And then you want to tell mini stories that relate so that they can hear how real transformation happens in a story format. So for example, I might say to her, so here I'm going to start looking at root causes, and I'm going to ask, how much was the most amount of money that your dad made per month throughout his career? Do you know?
I don't know. Maybe a month. Maybe 6,000. I'm not sure.
Okay. So let's just say about 6,000.
Okay.
And then how about your mom? What was the maximum that she might have made?
She did not work.
Okay. So mom stayed at home. Dad, mm-hmm. Did he work for someone else or was he an entrepreneur?
No, he worked for someone else.
Okay. One of the things, as you know from reading the article, that can stop people from having a breakthrough with their money ceiling is, number one, if they came from a family of employees rather than entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So one thing that you want to write down, I'm going to pause for a second, making a note to everyone, tell people to write down the root causes that you identify. You want them to make mm-hmm. a list as you're doing your free consult of the ahas, the revelations that you're revealing to them. And so in this case, I'm saying to her, so if you can grab a piece of paper and a pen, write down mm-hmm. the employee entanglements.
Okay.
Because one of the things that will actually block our income is when we ourselves are trying to be entrepreneurs, but we come from parents that are employees, and so we're trying to break a pattern that kind of is holding us in place. Now, you mm-hmm. can see, I'm pausing again, you can see that I'm being a little bit playful when I said that with her. You don't have to be so serious when you're doing this whole call, including when you're talking about root causes. You can get silly and playful about it. People like that. So I didn't say to her, hey, so one of the reasons that you're stuck is that you have the employee entanglement. Write that down. The employee
okay.
entanglement keeps you stuck because you're from a family of employees and you're trying to be an entrepreneur, right? Like, I could have just said it matter of fact. I could have just blah, 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 and just laid it out. But it's not as connected. It's not as light if you start getting too serious. So, you know, like I said, say it the way you'd say it to a best friend. You probably wouldn't be quite as monotone with a best friend. You probably quite wouldn't be so stoic. you know, you'd be more emotive and you'd possibly be more friendly or playful. So, you know, having like a giggle while you say it is encouraged. So right now we just identified, okay, I had her write down, like, hey, yeah, when we come from a family of employees, hard to break through, write that down. Mm-hmm. And then did anybody else in your family lose any money? Like in the Great Depression, or gambling, or loaning it?
Well, I'm sure in the Great Depression, I am sure, yes. I just don't know
okay.
the specifics. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that case, please write down no permission for abundance entanglement. And you might remember from the article that that one will get kicked off when somebody loses a bunch of money, and it's not uncommon for those of us that have had relatives in America that they went through the Great Depression. Some people make it unscathed, but if you have a sense that probably somebody had some losses there, we better keep our eye on that one as a possibility that is holding you back from being able to reach that 20,000 right now.
Okay.
So speaking to the room right now, you start asking questions that help you identify the root causes of why people are stuck based on what you know. So, for example, if I'm a cranial sacral therapist like Anne, I'm going to make the stuff up for a minute, Anne. I have no idea if this is true, but I'm just trying to illustrate how to devise questions that help you dig down to the root cause. So if in cranial sacral it was a known fact that if you don't sit at an ergonomic workstation, then it's really quite common that you get neck and shoulder pain. And so let's say that you've got a client who wants to come to you for pain relief. You ask them what's one of their goals, and they say, I am so sick of my – or my goal is to have neck and shoulders that just feel light and free and comfortable. And then when you get to the now portion and you say, so what's going on with your neck and shoulders right now? And they're like, oh, it's so painful. Every day at work, I'm sitting through hours of pain. Most days I have to take 2 Advil. And so now when it comes time for you as a practitioner to think of some questions to help you identify root cause, you're going to say, well, how's your workstation at work? Do you have an ergonomic chair? And they go, no, I just have like a regular office chair. And you say, and how about where your keyboard is? Are you using a laptop? No, yeah, I use a laptop. Where's the laptop position? Is it just on the table, or does it have one of those stands and you have a separate keyboard apart from it? And they go, no, it's just I type on the laptop and the laptop's on the table. Okay, clearly this person has zero ergonomic setup at their workstation, unless that table is somehow exactly at the right angle perspective, but their head is facing down to look at the screen. That's not ergonomically appropriate. So in choosing those questions, I am digging down to find out whether or not she has ergonomic workstation. I can tell that she doesn't. So now I'm going to say the root cause to her, in which case I'd say, one of the most common reasons that people have neck and shoulder pain is not having an appropriately ergonomic workstation set up at work or at home. So can you please write this down? Ergonomic workstation. This is one of the contributing factors to why that neck pain and that shoulder pain is showing up every day at work and why you've got to take 2 Advil just to get through the day. And then I continue to ask other questions that are meant to find other root causes for neck pain, in which case I might ask, so when you sleep at night, how do you sleep? What position do you sleep in? And she says, oh, I often sleep on my side. You say, okay, do you have a pillow between your knees? No, I don't use a pillow. How about the pillow you sleep on for your head? Is it, you know, thick? Is it small? Is it medium? Is it curved? And she's like, oh, I use like one of those feather down pillows, and like when I sleep on it, it kind of flattens out to almost nothing. You know how feather down pillows are. to which case I'd giggle and say, yeah, you know, I know how feather down pillows are. And then I might say to her the next root cause. So another root cause or another reason that people often have neck and shoulder pain is that their bed isn't set up for protecting their neck and shoulders when they sleep. And of course, we just identified that your workstation where you're sitting 6-8 hours a day is one of the leading causes for your neck and shoulder pain, but also you're probably sleeping like what, 6 to 8 hours a night? And say she says, yeah, 8 hours a night. Yeah, so that's another 8 hours that your neck and shoulders are not being supported. So now I've identified the second root cause, and I've asked her to write it down. Please write down, you know, bed ergonomics. So speaking to the room, naturally your questions need to be questions that help you identify root causes that you happen to know are where people get stuck with different kinds of problems in the field you work in. And by the way, here's how you use a mini story. So in the last example, we just talked about ergonomic bed. And so I might say immediately after that, I once worked with a woman who had such intense neck pain that her doctors had to give her 1,200 milligrams of Motrin a day. And when she came to me, she had to go on hiatus from her job because the pain was so intense. When I worked with her, I discovered that she didn't have an ergonomic bed set up. And after we worked together and I helped her set that up, her neck pain disappeared within 2 weeks. So that's an example of a mini story that I'm using right after I help somebody diagnose a root cause that helps the client understand how a real life person has gone through the experience of working with me and come out the other end with a result that's really good. In this case, neck pain gone in 2 weeks, and it was the kind of neck pain that was so intense you needed 1,200 milligrams of Motrin just to deal with every day. And that builds trust. It also builds a sense of safety of like, oh, she's worked with somebody in the past who had a really similar problem, and she just named one of the root causes that we just talked about, bedroom ergonomics, and how when they worked on that, the neck pain left in 2 weeks. So the story illustrates and does a lot of things for you really quickly. It shows them what a real life before and after looks like for a client. It shows that you've had experience working with that very particular problem, neck pain. It shows that bedroom ergonomics makes a huge difference, and it's one of the things that you just listed. And it helps the person understand how important bedroom ergonomics are, because that's something you adjusted with a previous client, and within 2 weeks, the neck pain was gone. There's even more value to the mini stories than that, but suffice it to say, that's a good enough chunk of why it's important to use them. I'm going to pause for just a second and ask the room, are there any questions so far? Or what are your questions so far? You can raise your hand by pressing 1 on the dial pad. Yes, Mary.
Regarding the mini stories, since I really haven't done this for anyone yet, should I make something up or tell somebody else's story?
You can tell other people's stories if you happen to know them, since you're working with an organization that probably has other success stories, using their method.
That helps.
right? So you were schooled in a particular methodology. There are other people who have employed that methodology and had success. You can use those stories.
Great. Thank you.
And instead of saying, instead of starting the story out with, I once worked with a woman, you would instead say, there was once a woman, or something like that. So there was this woman, if you know her first name, you can use it. There was this woman, Sharon, and in her business, she was getting zero leads from online. And the only time that she got leads was word of mouth, which was really slow. Once she started using the, and maybe your blogging method has a name, once she started using the better blogging method, within 2 months, she was getting 10 leads a day, 10 new leads a day in her business while she was sleeping. But that's how you tell a mini story with somebody's result, even though you didn't directly work with them, but it's through the methodology that you teach or use.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Good question. Any other questions? Okay. So that takes us to time, actually. And that is an example of how to get through the first part and what it sounds like when you ask those questions. Hopefully there's some insights into the second part in terms of the kinds of questions you want to think about placing in there. Questions not only about how is it now, how has it been in the recent past, but also things like we didn't get to this today, but like when did this problem start? What was it like when you were a kid? Now you're looking at patterns from much further past. And then you start getting into questions that help you root out those root causes. And I do also recommend that you make a list of root causes as well, so it's not something that you have to think about in the moment. So when you think about, okay, how do I help people? First of all, how do I help people? And what am I helping them with? And when I work with people, what ends up being some of the problems I have to deal with? In the case of online business, no blog, no list building, no marketing funnel, no marketing schedule, all of those are root causes. When somebody's like, I don't have enough clients in my business, and if your job is to help them get more customers through the online space, then those are the missing pieces. No blog, no marketing schedule, no list building, no marketing funnel. And so the missing pieces are the root causes. Just like in the health example of cranial sacral, not having an ergonomic desk, not having an ergonomic bed, these are all problems that you end up having to deal with, and those end up being the root causes that you then list as what's keeping people stuck in their pain. So sometimes it can be helpful to make a list of your root causes and then think, what questions do I have to ask in order to identify this root cause or this problem? If one of the problems is not having a blog, what questions do I have to ask to figure out whether or not they have that in place? Well, one is, do you have a website? Second is, are you blogging on it? Third might be, then we would list the blog thing as an issue. Then we might ask, do you list build on your website? And they say, what's that? That's when you have a little thing where you collect people's emails in exchange for giving them a free report or something. Do you have that on your website? No, I don't. Okay. So write this down. List building. One of the missing components in your business is list building. when you don't list build, you're leaving all kinds of clients on the table for someone else to get. I once worked with a client, here comes the mini story. I once worked with a client who was only getting about one new client a month. And she, when I spoke to her, we found out she wasn't list building. So I helped her set up a list on her website, and within 2 months, she was getting one new client a week. And then the person that's listening, the client goes, wow. And you're like, yeah. So that's how important list building is. That's how big of a difference it can make in your business. And that was only just 2 months worth. Once it went out into 6 months of having a list, she was getting two new clients a week or, you know, four new clients a week. And that's the magic of mini stories. So, so that means if it helps, and I guess it's like sort of a bonus extra credit good yummy thing to do, make a list of some of the root causes or in essence problems that you end up solving for people. Problems you end up encountering that you then have to solve. And that'll help you figure out what are some of the questions you need to put in the questions section of your free consult. And if we want to go further next time, we can continue from where we left off today in terms of this example. So we can go all the way through till the end of how you make your offer, how you talk about questions, how you handle hesitation, how you have the money conversation, how you customize a package for somebody, what to do when they say different things like, I don't know, I don't know if I have the time, that's too expensive, or whatever they end up saying. And then how do you do the follow-up call, if you need to do a follow-up call. If somebody says, I just really need to think about it, or I need to look at my finances, how do you handle that? And also, how do you help them make a decision in the moment when they look at your menu, to be able to choose something and literally sign up for it on that call and get started. We can go all the way through and demo that on some future calls, if that's what works for y'all. I'm going to unmute everybody. Just to have the floor open, is there anything that anybody wants to say, comment?
I just want to say, Dana, thank you. That was really helpful, I think, for just to hear it again. And I think Ann probably, I hope Ann got what she was looking for on that too, because I was trying to help her get the flow, and you did it perfectly. So thank you for that.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dana. And the what you talked about for the next session sounds perfect.
Cool beans.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess we're all good then. So go out and enjoy implementing that in your practice sessions with each other and also with some quote-unquote real people, some real pretend clients out in the world. Of course, there are new videos up on how to get some of your free consults booked for free. So I showed you some ways, some easy ways, some simple online marketing that doesn't cost anything for you to start booking some extra practice sessions with folks. And remember, you're still not trying to get signups. You're simply trying to get practice with real people. Because real people, rather than other students in the course, will answer your questions more, well, not more genuinely, but they have the real answers because they're real people. They're not students who are playing a role. So it's going to be a more authentic practice experience. So that said, big old hugs to everybody, and go out and have a great week. And we did some shifts and changes, by the way, to your accountability pods. Giovanna had to put the program on pause, and so we moved some folks around. So people, Heather, you had asked, can we move some people around so we have three in our groups? And so I moved people around, so there's now two new groups of three. Let me know if it works out or if we need to move some other people around because of scheduling issues.
Thank you.
But if you look on your contact sheet, yeah, you're grouped by color now rather than number. I have your old number on there just so I can remember where it was before, but you're grouped by colors. So good. All right. Awesome. Then let us all say our goodbyes to each other since your mics are open. So have a great week, everybody.
You too. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful week to everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are currently the only